Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, this is Pablo Zabaleta.
This is Troy Deeney.
This is Kevin Phillips.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. I travelled to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast would not happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to become a socio, to become one of our members, and get an extra big interview every month, plus loads of bonus content. So go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter, patreon.com/Graham Hunter, and we'll bring you joy. You're about to listen to an excerpt of my big interview with Julian Lescott, during which you'll hear him talk eloquently about his time as a Manchester City player, from how he celebrated Sergio Aguero's historic goal against QPR, it's spectacular, to his partnership with fellow centre-half Vincent Kompany, and what he thinks about the brilliant Belgian. Julian really is intelligent, articulate, eloquent even. He's a great listen. However, this is only a part of the full interview. To hear the entire chat with Julian, including a discussion of his current role as a mentor at Manchester City, how dyslexia has impacted on his life and his career in football, and the incident of throwing up next to the canal in Wolverhampton, then it's time to join our members club. Go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter to sign up now, and you'll be helping to ensure that we continue to bring you big interviews like this one. Thank you. Please join up now.
You remind me of, I think, a phrase you used when you chose to join City. Because I think you talked then about, at Everton, we'd like to do well, or at City, it's an obligation. Even then, way before what you're saying, and you went, that club, which was lower in the table than the club you were leaving at the time, that club is just focused on win, look for the title. That's... Have I made the translation right from what you were talking about to what you felt like then?
Yeah, again, I was lucky enough to meet Chairman Khaldun, and at the time, he even made me feel like I was the most important person joining this club. And again, he probably did that with everyone. I'm assuming he did because he's that way. But for that moment, that was the case. And it just mirrored my thought process of these want to win. I want to win. They are determined to win. That timing of it all was just perfect for me.
And I like seeing people thrive and succeed. And you know, from that decision, you know, league title aside, and the fun times, and the high level performance, and you know, reasonable rewards, I'm sure financially. Here you are at his club, still feeling the same way, and seeing an augmentation of that desire to win and the standards at a time when you're into a new branch in your life. It's a very satisfying parabola to listen to and to watch for me.
Yeah, no, again, he spoke about the club himself, spoke about where the club was going, and you kind of just, because no one's done in a small period of time what City have been able to do in these 10 years that they've been in charge, you kind of just like, okay, I kind of understand what you're saying, but there's no proof of anything yet because it hasn't happened anywhere. And then stuff starts to happen, you're like, these are deadly serious. These are deadly serious about what they're doing. And then you realise they have been so successful in pretty much every aspect of their life, every other business they've been involved in. And I hate to say that it's just a business for them, because it's not, because the way they've changed the community, they haven't just developed Man City as a football club. And I'm not just saying this because I'm part of that, but...
There's a patent investment.
Yeah, the 100%. And what they've done in this amount of time compared... And again, I don't really want to do that, but I will, to say what United have done in that is totally different. Like, obviously, now Man United have felt the need to have a women's team where... That was standard. That was always going to happen, and the success of that has been evident on the pitch, and just developed the community, and obviously partnered with so many other clubs. And the 10 years that they've been in control, they've done everything, barring win the Champions League. Mm-hmm. They've set out to do, and as I said, I don't think they're going to stop when they do reach that goal of the Champions League. I don't think all of a sudden it's going to be like, well, we've done what we set out to do. Now we can rest. It's going to be like, well, what's the next thing? What can we do? And they're just going to continue to grow.
Football is full of lovely people. And we had Alan Smudger-Smith on the other day. And he said in a very robust manner that 1989 at Anfield, where he scored and made one and Liverpool lost the title on the last day, was, without argument, the single most iconic moment in English league football. And he specifically called out Sergio Aguero and said, yeah, that isn't it. Ooh. Now, I feel you've probably got a hint of bias in this argument. But can you make a case that he's wrong?
I know different eras, and obviously the kind of content is different now. But if you asked people of my age what happened then, you had to really describe what happened in that game and that moment for me to get where you were going. So we say to someone, Sergio Aguero's goal, they know what you're talking about. There's only one goal that kind of that people would say. So do you remember Sergio Aguero's goal? Did you see it? Yeah, I seen it, or I didn't see it, but I know what you're talking about. If you say Alan Smith's goal and assist against Liverpool, what year was that? What game was that? What did it mean? You kind of, and that's the way I would judge it off. Like, not necessarily the importance of it to him and them, but more so what society view it as. And it was Liverpool-Arsenal, which was a rivalry, but this is Man City, Man United. Like, surely that rivalry is bigger than Arsenal-Liverpool at any era. Like, and especially now, the fact that Man City are where they are, and the transition of the importance and the size of the clubs within the city. I definitely would say Sergio Aguero's goal.
Because you participated in it. Is it still alive in your head there somewhere? No. Does it ever crop up to you? Have you compartmentalised?
Yeah, I've never... I watched that game, or that moment, them highlights. I think it was midway through last season. That's the first time I'd watched it. I haven't realised how important that Premier League was until I retired. When you're playing, it's just, well, that's what we was intended to do, and that's what it was. And now I look back, and like to hear Steven Gerrard, who I think is an all-time great legend on and off the field, for him to say him not winning it, like, is a massive kind of disappointment, and he would potentially swap his Champions League for a Premier League. I'm like, wow, what I've done then is amazing to be a part of that. And one, to win it, but then to say you're part of the first time for a club of this size, and in 100 years, this will be as big a club as any in the world, I think, the way they're going. And to say you were the first to do something is special.
I want to leave it on a character that I've never met, but I find fascinating. I have no idea what your relationship is with your ex-centre-half partner, but it's quite patent to me that Vincent Kompany is a pretty special individual. Quite patent to me that once he's out with his football environment, there seems to be few bounds as to... I've heard a lot of people saying to me, he'll probably be president or prime minister.
100%. That would not surprise me at all. He could do academically and collectively. His thought process is very focused on whatever he's set out to do. He's done a number of things that most intelligent footballers will never do. To study for the Masters whilst we're challenging for the titles is ridiculous to me. And when I'm asking him, why are you highlighting philosophy paragraphs on the way to games. He's saying because that's the way I have to focus. If I don't, I can't concentrate if I'm not concentrating. I'm just like, his just mind would wonder about everything and everything if he wasn't focused on certain things. And we used to give him stick about it all the time. I was like, but that was the way he coped with the kind of mental side of the structure of what we were doing. He kind of geared his attention away from football more than most in order to kind of focus. When he was on football, it was solely that. And a very, very intelligent person, human being. And as I said, it was great timing for us both. I remember when I joined and Kolo Touré was like the figurehead. He'd come from Arsenal, I'd come from Everton, but Arsenal would, he would win trophies. Mm-hmm.
And Vincent, I think he was an invincible, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was an invincible and a major part of that. But also, like, Vinny was here, but Vinny had come from Hamburg, and it was deemed that who's going to play with Kolo? Who's going to be Kolo's partner? Not the best partnership. It was like, well, Kolo's going to play. He's captain, so who's going to play with him? And we and Vinny never had that competition element, but we spoke. There was one time where we was in the dressing room late for training, and he said, do you feel like it's that competition? And I was like, yeah, weirdly enough, I do, but it never felt like we was at competition with each other. It felt like they was trying to forge that between us. And then after that, our relationship just went from strength to strength. Unfortunately, I got injured because Vinny was playing right back. Mm-hmm. It was me and Kolo. Mm-hmm. Vinny was right back, and then I got injured, and then Vinny went centre half. And for him, then the rest was history. He was kind of determined he was going to stay at centre half, which he did, rightly so. And then after my injury, I was like, I've got that mental strength that he's got, so let me put that into place now and do what I need to do to get into the team. And did the same kind of focus and got back into the team. But then I quickly realised, a bit like Gareth Barry, who I haven't mentioned, he was again a massive real hero of mine, even though I've played with him, because I'll go back to that. He was playing for Aston Villa reserves when my brother was at Aston Villa, in the position I was wanted to play. Mm-hmm. So to see him do the things he did at that age, I was like, wow, he's like, and that was so he's a real hero, not just like someone that you make up or you can never get to. He's like a real hero of mine, and he knows that. And so a bit like him in the sense of, I realised that Vincent was going to play, so I needed to make our partnership the best.
Smart.
In order Smart. To play in the team.
Yeah.
Gareth Barry knew that Yaya Toure was going to play, or say it was Nigel and Yaya kind of at the two and then the three. He needed to make them be the best they can be, because mm-hmm. then you were going to play. And I realised that. And unfortunately, the only person that probably didn't realise that, which had a great partnership at the time as well, was Edin Dzeko. Mm-hmm. He seen Sergio as playing, but didn't realise that Sergio plays well with Edin. Mm-hmm. But because he possibly got more plaudits, he kind of was like, well, you're not treating us the same. And I was like, I know what you're saying, but it's not going to work like that at this moment in time. They're the spine of the team. Mm-hmm. If you play well with them, you will play every
you're
week.
In.
You're yeah. in. And that's what I realised. And I thought, well, if I can help Vinny play well and he can help me play well, then
you're automatic as a partnership.
We're going to play. And there was managers and coaches that tried to change, but ultimately kind of came back to me and Vinny.
I really love the way that you phrased that. We beat them. Ultimately came back to me. I really love the way that you phrased that.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Again, you're showing I'm not blowing smoke at you. I love hearing smarts, you know, just dissecting something, picking your way through it. And you surprised me there. I raised my eyebrow because when you talked about Gareth, I remember as a junior journalist in England before I moved to Spain, trying to speak to him as a young kid. He was very shy, very quiet. But I was drawn to him because I was like, how are you doing those things at that age with this pressure and doing it as if it was water off a duck's back? Yeah.
Because it is to him. I seen a coach. I was out at West Brom visiting a player, and they said they called him the least emotionally attached footballer they've ever met. Nothing fazes him, and it's right. Nothing can deter him away from what he's due to do. If he's meant to be there or meant to do this, it's getting done because that is what is being asked of him, and he's a true, true professional.
I share your point of view, but I also like to hear that expressed between professionals. I really, really enjoy it. We are fortunate enough to have sponsors. Bet365 have sent these questions in to us for you. Now, you've touched on one of this, but my memory is that when everybody was jumping on top of Sergio Aguero in that most iconic moment ever for, sorry, Alan, for English football, you did something different. So Bet365's question is, describe how you felt when Sergio Aguero scored that famous goal against QPR.
Oh, relief, excitement. I remember running to the physios because what people don't realise is they work longer hours than the players and they are there. Probably them and the kit men, along with obviously the manager, are there day in, day out, every minute of every day, every training session. They have to be there. So having spent time with them people, and majority of them are City fans. I'm not lucky enough to work at the club, but I remember running to them and just literally jumping into them and thinking, someone's better catch me because this is going to hurt a lot of people if you don't. So I remember just jumping and just grabbing about 4 grown men at the same time, and literally we was all squeezing each other as hard as we could. And I don't remember how I felt, but I remember kind of how that felt, and it was like relief and excitement and just happy, just like...
It's funny, like, weird. You obviously felt a little bit of gratitude to these guys for what they've done for you during your career. So to have in your crowning moment a bit of gratitude. But I think it's a special person who, when the crowning moment of your professional career comes, the greatest joy you can take is other people's joy.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's pretty special.
Yeah, that was... That was like... It means so much to them, as it did us, but... It was weird because after then, we kind of went into the dressing room and pretty much everyone had 5 minutes to themselves. Like, people were ducking around and going, sitting in, like, I remember sitting in the other side. I'm sure Vinny went into the showers. Micah and Joe went, did what they're going to do. Because, again, it was new to us. There was players that didn't do that because they'd won stuff and they'd know what that emotion, they felt that emotion, but an overwhelming emotion of, what have we just done? Was kind of where a few of us went to separate ourselves and just gather our thoughts.
That's really interesting because just by luck, the Spain team I was working with, they allowed me in the World Cup winning dressing room. So I went in, I was shy and I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
I literally hugged the wall. It was joyful, getting excited even thinking about it. We were allowed in, the Queen, the Prince, and that tenor, Placido Domingo, Rafa Nadal, a scarf around his head, face painted, crying. crying like the Gaza on spitting images, which is floods. And after about 4 or 5 minutes, everything went quiet. Yeah. And I thought, this should be madness, jumping, screaming, hugging, whatever. But everybody was like, there was a 10, 15 minute period where there were, you said everybody was in their own little zone or private thing. And I was like, I was so confused. How can that, a crowning moment of your life, but maybe you've helped explain it. But
yeah, well, for them, again, they're used to that. It was never going to be their last time. They probably thought, this is not going to be the last time we're doing this.
Probably.
So
probably not.
Let's enjoy it, but also on to the next. And I'd like to know what David Silva was like then, because he is the most humblest man I've come across. Like, not even in football. He's so humble. It's ridiculous. I'm just like, he's very appreciative of like the achievements, I'm sure, but I'd like to see him lose control. I'd love to see that, which I don't think you're ever going to see. I don't think it's ever going to be a possibility there.
I've never seen it. Whenever you talk to him, you know that it's not his first joy talking about football. But he's got this little quizzical look about his eyes and a hidden little smile. Talents aside, I find him an intriguing guy. Yeah. And I think he's still underappreciated in England.
Yeah. I think like the fact that this season he's getting more.
Good.
Off the back of last season, good, he's getting a lot more attention. He probably hates it.
Yeah.
He's probably having to do
interviews. Not what he lives for.
No. And honestly, he's the one that doesn't live for that. And
Last one that Bet365 sent into us is, they want to know, who's the toughest striker you came up against?
Louis Saha, what King Louis, like, what a player.
That's a Jungle Book reference, everybody.
Yeah, I was at Wolves, he was at Fulham, and I've played against Messi, Ronaldo and greats. I'm not saying he's better than them as a player, no, but what he did to me, to what I had no control over, was, that's the difference. Like, you play against players and you make mistakes and you're like, they were great, but I don't normally do that, so I'm not going to judge it off that. I didn't do anything wrong to Louis Saha, and he exposed me to the full capacity to make me think that there are totally different levels to this. They were top of the league, Fulham, and we was at Wolves. They'd scored an average of 2.3 goals a game. They came to Molineux. We drew 0-0. I got mad at the match.
Whoa.
I'm not thinking I've arrived. I'm thinking, yeah, I've had a good game, this, that and the other. 3 weeks later, we play them in the cup. Wolves, they're still top of the league, obviously. We're trying. Louis Saha now must be thinking, I need to up my game. He probably didn't lower his game, but he probably just thought, Wolves are mid-table kind of thing. We've been scoring 3 goals a game. We're going to get these chances. Now he's thinking, let me turn it on. I'm not thinking I've made it, but I'm thinking, well, this is not as hard as what people are saying. Wow. And he just exposed me. He took a free kick and a pen. He scored the free kick with his left foot, scored the pen with his right foot. And they won 3-0. And I remember after that game, Colin Lee, my manager at the time, saying, learn from that, son, but don't ever let it discredit you, what you're about to do. And I was like, I need to retire. Like, he really exposed me, which made me kind of wake up and be like, yeah, there's levels.
I've met him once at Michael Carrick's testimonial. And special guy, but I've never heard anybody talk about him quite like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Fabulous.
To hear the entire chat with Julian, including a discussion of his current role as a mentor at Manchester City, how dyslexia has impacted on his life and his career in football, and the incident of throwing up next to the canal in Wolverhampton, then it's time to join our members club. Go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter to sign up now, and you'll be helping to ensure that we continue to bring you big interviews like this one. Thank you. Please join up now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.